5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing episode of the Croc Podcast. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer glass. My friend, we have a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Now, tomorrow when you say that, you're going to be saying, yes, we do.
More like, please don't touch me.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're doing the podcast we never wanted to do. We're doing the podcast we tiptoed around forever. We're doing the podcast about the birds and the bees, Angel, and how it relates to our survivors.
Oh, I just love when you don't tell me what the shows are, because this is just perfect for me right now.
Well, you should be reading. The text says to you and to Rod, module is Reclaiming Normal, and it's episode 5, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Sex But Was Afraid to Ask. And then I wrote, well, it's finally time to have the talk. You know, the one about the birds and the bees survivor version. Angel and Dr. E have put this topic off long enough. You can't fully enjoy and celebrate your survivorship without intimacy. But what does intimacy look like now that your mind, your spirit, your desires, and your genitals have been put through the ringer? Let's find out. What do you say?
Awesome intro, I must say. The words, the way you can just package everything together, no pun intended.
Oh, that's pretty good. Speaking of packages, Angel, I understand yours is going to get a little lighter tomorrow.
Oh, my Lord. You know what I feel like? I feel like every time somebody reminds me, because I'm counting down, it's like New Year's Eve, and literally the ball is dropping, and I don't want that to happen. No pun intended. But the fact is...
Yeah, for our survivors that don't understand our double entendre... Angel, as many of you know, or all of you should know, just had his second baby. And in order for him to have daddy time with his wife, she read him the Riot Act and said he needs to be snipped. As a matter of fact, that snipping will happen tomorrow. I offered to do it at half price on the radiation machine, but he said no. He's going to have the urologist do it with a scissor. I don't know why he made that choice, but he did. And I want everyone to know that his wife, who has the greatest sense of humor of any human I know, gave him a t-shirt that says what, Angel?
It's kind of blurred out right now, but I got three shirts. My shirt says the swim team may have been cut, but the coach will never survive. I never retire, excuse me.
Oh, I hope you survive, Angel.
Me too. And then my daughter's, of course, says swim team survivor 2018, and Noah's is 2022. So I'm contemplating if I should just wear that to the surgery tomorrow.
Yeah, so you should actually. I think you should actually. And when the funny thing about it, when I look at you walk from your car to work, you're going to be kind of looking like a cowboy that just rode a horse on a 36-hour, cow roundup.
Well, I say let's go back to the saloon there, Buckaroo.
Angel, let's get right into it. Since it is a subject nobody ever wants to talk about, it's a very important subject. I think it fits in very nicely with our module on regaining normal. We talked about friendship. We talked about dating. We talked about vacations. And we're going to talk today about sex. So intimacy, let's be honest, is a very major part of life. Cancer can make huge changes and cause huge damage to your sex life. So I think we need to address this. And I think this is the subject that the survivors might feel uncomfortable discussing, but we're going to go through it. Intimacy is a major part of life, as we all know, and cancer could make huge changes and cause huge damage to your sex life. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So I think that we're going to break this down into small parts. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about what I think should be the three pillars of this podcast and of our survivor's sex life. So number one is that I know cancer and your doctors' treatments have made huge changes in who you think you were. But what we want you to do first and foremost, one of the first pillar, is to accept who you were and who you are. And guess what? It's the same person.
Wow.
Number two, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. What is your personal philosophy on sex? Do you try to obtain pleasure from sex, which I'm sure all of us do? Do you just have sex to reproduce? Do you connect deeper at a deeper level by having sex with someone? Or is it just a casual activity or a true body soul connection? So you need to have that discussion with yourself to find out exactly what sex means to you. You probably haven't had this discussion with yourself probably since you've been diagnosed with cancer, but it's time to define what it is that you want in your sex life. And then the third and equally important pillar is communication. You need to be transparent with your partner. You need to be honest with your partner, and you need to have, I'm going to use a word that I would never justify in any other setting except in this setting. And when I tell you, you need to be entitled, that means that you're entitled to a good sex life. You're entitled to adequate intimacy. You're entitled to have that connection with your partner. So those are the three pillars. Number one, accept who you were and who you are. You are the same person. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Remember what sex was with for you before, what it meant to you. And does it still mean the same thing to you? And number three is communicate with your partner.
I think it's well said. A lot of questions in my mind, but I want you to go ahead and continue. When it comes time, I'll make my comment.
Okay, so let's dig in. So let's first talk about the different types of relationships, and then we're going to talk about the different issues. And Angel, like in every podcast, we don't only go through and identify problems, but we try to find solutions. So we're going to dig in and we're going to talk about what I call the three types of relationships. So number one, you could be in a committed relationship before you have cancer, and you're still in that committed relationship. Hopefully the partner that you chose, didn't bug out during your cancer treatment. Sadly, I do know partners who do bug out, but I'm hoping that our survivors that are listening have partners of great value and love. And in that case, you should not have much concern. There are many concerns, but you should have a little pressure off of you because this shouldn't be a test, right? So if you're in a committed relationship, this shouldn't be a test. If you're in a non-committed relationship, but intimate with your partner, maybe it is a good test. Maybe it is the test to find out if this is the person that you're truly meant to be with, because anybody who has any value will stay with you and try to work with you and try to make a deeper connection with you and help you through your cancer experience. So that may be the test that may tell the, you know, what would you say? Weed out the good candidates from the bad candidates. And number three, and this is probably the one that would freak most people out. If you're not in a relationship, but wanting to get back into a relationship and have intimacy part of that relationship, that will be terrifying. And I understand that. But we're going to break everything down and we're going to come up with the issues and we're going to come up with solutions to those issues. So we're going to break the issues into two parts. One is what I call the structural or physiological issues. And the second one is going to be body image, non-physiological issues. So we'll start with the structural physiological issues. So what if your cancer causes you to have an ostomy? An ostomy is an externalization of your body waste. So either your feces or your solid waste or your urine and your non-solid waste aren't coming out of the places they should be. They're coming out of little holes in your body that your doctors have created. I don't know about you, Angel, but that would freak me out. You know, trying to have sex with these ostomies, I could definitely understand that as being a deterrent.
Absolutely.
You could also have issues with, erectile dysfunction after a prostatectomy. The neurovascular bundle was cut. after surgery, or if you've had damage to that neurovascular bundle with radiation. Of course, we always laugh and make fun, or the proverbial joke is a woman could always fake it, right? But a guy can't. So what do we do about that circumstance? Premature menopause, women that are put into menopause early because of the fact they've had chemotherapy or whatever, that's a problem. Or I even call malopause men who have also gone through, menopause or malopause because of being placed on hormones for the prostate cancer and things like that, where your libido goes down and your desire goes down and your ability to perform likewise goes down. We can also talk about incontinence, vaginal dryness. These are all structural physiological issues that can complicate your sex life. Enteritis is a fancy word for having upset stomach, or a colitis where you're having frequent bowel movements, or you can't predict your bowel movements, or you have to run to the bathroom all the time after having had surgery or radiation therapy to the abdomen or to the pelvis. We talked about some vaginal dryness, but also you could get vaginal stenosis, or foreshortening of your vagina after treatments, both with surgery and radiation. How do we deal with that? You can get neuropathy, which is the tingling, pins and needles of the feet. You can't feel your feet, can't feel your hands. That certainly, we're very tactile beings. Sex is a very tactile activity. And if you don't have that ability to feel, that would diminish the experience. You could have fatigue, tiredness. You could have swelling of the upper or lower extremities. And you could also have a loss of fertility and those types of things. So we're going to talk about the solutions to these. And again, very superficially, we can get more in detail with our survivors. If they wish to get in touch with us, we'd be more than happy to point them in the right direction. But in relation to the other side of the ball, the non-physiological or body image issues, scars, scars are freaky to people. So guys usually like scars, but if you have a big scar on your breast or whatever, that may not be really cool. Or if you have a big abdominal scar after pancreatic surgery, or liver surgery, that might be, hey, what the heck is that? Oh, that's awful. Well, that looks terrible. That's a horrible feeling. How about a mastectomy? I mean, in the old days, maybe less now, but you would look at magazines and there would be big busted women, all over the place. And breasts sell, right? That's what you see. And now all of a sudden you don't have you don't have a breast, so that's a problem. Even a lumpectomy, where you take only a part of the breast off, then you become lopsided and you feel like a cyclops, or you feel absolutely like a freak. Again, I'm going to put ostomy in this category as well, because that's also a body image issue as well as a structural issue. Epilation is a fancy word for saying hair loss, so we'll put that in there for self-image. And it could also affect your self-esteem, your confidence. I call it your swag, right? You really can't have good sex, good sex, unless you have a little bit of swag, right? You can't be like, Mother Teresa, and Father Bernie, and just to be this really humble, mousy person. Like, you got to be a real Amazon goddess and god, of the jungle, to have really good sex or feel really good about yourself. So that we call that swag. You could also have had weight gain and you look different than you did, or lose your muscle during your cancer treatments. Women always tell me, and men also, that they gain weight during chemotherapy. You think you would lose weight, but because you're getting steroids and you're eating and you're not moving, you lose your muscle mass and you gain fat. You also lose your lightness of heart, right? So you lose your humor. You lose your positivity. You could also have mental fog or memory issues after chemotherapy. That's also a problem. Fear of rejection. You already are rejecting yourself, so why wouldn't someone else reject you, right? You figure, right? And how about just, sadness? Being sad about your cancer, being scared about your cancer, being angry about your cancer, being non-accepting of your cancer. These are all the problems that are just probably the tip of the iceberg, Angel.
I totally agree. I think that we have to pause for a second to say, you know, listen, we're all grown here. We know that aside from a person that's dealing with all these issues, we live in a world where we can easily judge a book by its cover. We're now looking at it from a different point of view. We're looking at it from somebody who has gone through a crazy roller coaster ride. They are survivors. And now we're adding more insecurity to what may already have already been there. So, you know,
Yeah.
it's like layers of a cake, right? So
Layers upon layers upon layers upon layers.
exactly. So I think for myself, I have to say that as somebody who's ex was extremely insecure and still is, I believe that when you have this opportunity to go out and, you know, and venture back into the intimacy world, you have to remember you have accomplished or are accomplishing one of your biggest goals. And that is why you're considered a survivor. So you have beaten these odds or trying to beat these odds, and don't allow anything or anyone, because they're going to love you for who you are regardless. And the right person will love you for who you are. Not the wrong one is the one that you don't want to be with, because at the end of the day, they're going to choose not to be with you because of whatever it is that they quote unquote see. It's not even worth your time and your heartache when you can just go out and have a good time with the right person.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point. Everything that I mentioned doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, meaning you don't have to have just issues with scar identification and self-esteem and sadness. You could have all of it. You know, it could be, you know, it's not like going to a price-fixed menu and you could only take one appetizer, one main course, and one dessert. I mean, you could have three appetizers, four main courses, and seven desserts, and you could, and that could still define some of the challenges that we have trying to get you back in the saddle, as they say, Angel. And I have to quote one of my favorite movies, The Love Guru, where Mike Myers said, "Intimacy into me, I see." So, you know, again, getting back to what we were talking about, you need to kind of look inside yourself and find out what it is that you want. So, how about some solutions, Angel? What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, as far as the ostomies, you know, so that's just basically, in football, they call it situational practice or situational preparation. You really just have to be ready. I mean, I hate to say it, maybe those days of being, you know, wafted off your feet by this handsome stranger and taken into, you know, some, you know, back alley or whatever, you know, to have this really great sex and, you know, this extemporaneous experience. You know, maybe that's not going to work. Maybe you need to prepare yourself. Maybe you need to empty your bag. Maybe you need to make sure you're, if you know that you're going to be intimate that night, maybe that's not the greatest time to have a food that's going to go right through you, like a broccoli or, you know, something that's going to cause a lot of gas or issues. So preparation, I call it situational preparation. In regard to the erectile dysfunction, you know, there are medications, there are injections, and there are penile implants. For vaginal dryness, there's lubrication. For vaginal stenosis, there's vaginal dilators. Now, we always tell our patients we would love your partner to be your dilator. But then again, you know, not every person has that advantage. So we actually have dilators that we give to women to help keep their vaginal vault supple and open and things like that. We also talk about libido. Libido and intimacy aren't just penetration and intercourse. You know, it's holding hands, you know, cuddling, spooning, you know, all those, you know, kissing eyebrows, you know, all those types of things, nibbling on earlobes. You know, those are all the things foreplay, touching, feeling. Those are all the things that are, you know, really important to help with your libido. And as far as incontinence, again, preparation is important. Make sure that you don't, you know, that you're all emptied out both sides, and that's cool. We talked about lubrication for vaginal dryness. How about positions? Painful sex for a woman is called dyspareunia. whereas inability to obtain an erection is erectile dysfunction. So let the ladies lead in trying to experiment with different positions and lubrications and things like that. And the other thing is gentleness and being able to communicate during the sex act is also important because something might hurt, something may not be pleasurable, and you could kind of experiment. Like, this is the best time to do some experimentation. Take notes, see what works, build upon what works and get rid of the stuff that doesn't work, right? Enteritis, again, making sure you're prepared. We talked about the neuropathy. There are medications you could take for neuropathy, like gabapentin. You could also, with fatigue and lassitude, we could start an exercise program for you where you start gaining your, reconditioning and getting your strength back. Swelling of the upper or lower extremities. Sometimes you could just take a diuretic. Not that I'm saying go out and get Lasix like you're a racehorse, or even some wraps. Go to a specialist in lymphedema. We have a wonderful lymphedema clinic at Garnet, Angel. We have Mary and her group. What a great job they do for our patients with edema. On the other side of the glass, we have the scars. Well, that's a mental thing. You're just going to have to, there was a quote from a movie where I think Keanu Reeves said in a movie where he was about to finish a football game and win the championship. I think he says, pain heals, chicks dig scars, and glory is forever. So, embrace your scars. So that's your battle mark, after a lumpectomy and you have a lopsided breast. Name it. Name it Cleopatra, name it Cleo, name it Dorothy, name it whatever. Get to love it and get to love the goofiness of yourself and get to laugh about it. Become part of it. Epilation, if you don't want to rock, a bear head, which believe me, I'm a huge fan of short hair. Wear a wig, wear a bandana, wear a cap, dress up like Princess Leia, that's every guy born in the 1960s and ahead. That's like our greatest, fantasy is to make love to Princess Leia. As far as, self-esteem, swag, confidence, that's in your head, therapy, talk to somebody, create a support system, go to a support group where there's other people suffering the same issues that you are. You are not alone out there. You are not suffering in isolation. If you're suffering, there's a million other people suffering the same problems that you're having. Weight gain, again, get into an exercise program. We can help you. Your physician can help you. Your friends can help you. Everyone has a friend who's perfect, right? It happens with me. It happens to be my wife. She's had a life in exercise and fitness, and she certainly knows how to give me information. And then her other life was as a nutritionist. You might want to seek some help trying to get back to where you were. Not a problem with that. And be light on yourself. Cool out. Don't, it's not going to happen overnight. Let it take as much, it didn't take overnight to lose everything. It's not going to happen overnight to gain everything back. We talked about exercise. We did a whole module on exercise, weight training, getting your muscle mass back. And then once you start feeling better about yourself and you're in a relationship and you're maybe not having the greatest sex, but you're moving toward it, or at least you're trying to achieve it, then you have this more positiveness. You're that lightness that you lost. You're going to start being humorous again and start feeling positive about yourself. The mental fog is going to go away. Just accept it, call it something. We call it chemo brain. Like, people have, ice cream freeze, brain freeze, chemo brain. It's a real thing. Don't think you're the only person who forgot what they had for breakfast because you had chemotherapy. Don't think you're the first person who couldn't balance their checkbook because you had chemotherapy. It's okay. You might have had brain radiation, right? So all that neurocognitive stuff, that happens. And you just have to forgive yourself and just do the best you can and make sure your partner is aware of it. And remember that you said that, right? So if you have memory loss, don't forget that you need that. Fear of rejection. Guess what? Whoever rejects you is an idiot. So don't worry about it. You should reject them. So that's all I have to say about that. And then the sadness, the anger, the non-acceptance, you need to get over it. It is, it happened, shit happens. You got cancer, but it's going to make you better. You got cancer, you're going to be cured. You got cancer, it's going to make you stronger. You got cancer, you did something that not a lot of people can say, that you beat cancer. You are a badass warrior. If you can beat cancer, you can have great sex. Angel?
I totally agree. Totally agree with everything you said. Well, I think what I wanted to touch base on was the scars. You know, for your viewers out there, I had back surgery. I know this is somewhat relatable. I've had many surgeries on my back. I've got scarring everywhere. And yes, it was very hard for me to understand. I didn't want to take my shirt off in public. I didn't want to take my shirt off, especially with anybody I was intimate with. But eventually what you just realize is it's a part of you. So I learned to name it. I did the same thing you said. It was ironic that you brought that up. You know, in my 20s, I called it, you know, if I was out on the beach, I'd say, well, you know, I got bit by a shark, you know.
Oh, awesome. I love it. Yeah.
This is the jaws, you know, the jaws scars. And then as I got older, you know, now, you know, I joke with it. Now it's my map. You know, I'll say, we're here. Just take the train tracks this way. And so, yes, you have to humble yourself. You have to understand that you've overcome some difficult odds. And at the end of the day, it's still part of you. And what doesn't break you will make you stronger.
And we understand everybody out there that's going through this. I mean, hell, normal, you know, I use the word normal. That's a terrible word. People who are not cancer survivors have their own issues with sex. So you're not the only one just because you have cancer. You know, sex is a complicated subject. I know you're freaked out about it. I know you don't want to talk about it, but if you do, and if you need resources, Angel, how will they get in touch with us?
Listen, we have our social media accounts. We have it right there on the description. We are on every platform that you can think of. We are on our Twitter account. We've got our email account. And soon, of course, we're in the process right now of converting all these audio versions into a video format live, you know, not live, but it will be, we'll be launching it through the YouTube. And then there'll be things at the bottom that will describe everything we're talking about. So the bottom line is you got Twitter, Croc Podcast. Take a look at it. Join us. We talk to you. It comes right to us. There's no third party. It's Dr. E or Angel. Bottom line.
Awesome. Angel, I want to thank you for a great podcast. I mean, that was, you know, we've been avoiding it and avoiding it and avoiding it, but we hit it straight up. I think we did a great job, if I don't say so myself. And, you know, again, this is my pep talk. You guys are special. You guys are awesome. You guys are rock stars. You guys are superstars. You guys are survivors. You guys have courage. You guys are fearless. You guys are absolutely our heroes and heroines of your own story. If you can beat cancer, you can have great sex. I said that before. I'm going to say it again. And 99% of it is in your mind. Even if you can't have old-fashioned sex intercourse, that's not sex. That's just, you know, screwing. I hate to say it, but that's what it is. You want to have a connection, an intimate connection with somebody. It's not always about that. There are other creative ways to be intimate. We don't have to go into detail. You know what I'm saying. So if you need us, let us know. God loves you. You guys are amazing. We love you. Realize how important you are and how useful you are and how valuable you are. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Thank you, my friend, for yet another podcast.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Thank you for everything. We should get Rod on. We haven't had him on in a long time, just to say hello to everybody and tell him to his face how grateful we are. I hope he listens to these podcasts because we truly do adore you. You do so much for our survivors. It's the people that have never been touched by cancer and the people who don't work in cancer that I really admire, like you and like Rod. And some of our board of directors, although many of our board of directors who I'm going to thank next, you know, have in some way, Janie and Sarah are our amazing navigators. We have you who works in the hospital, myself. Denise was in palliative care for a while. We have Alan and Becky who are actually survivors. And I think Justin might be the only one who is maybe not on the medical end, but he is a survivor because of his dad. So he has that connection as well. Rod, I don't know, but he is the greatest guy in the world. God bless you, Rod. Michael John Venzea, Charlotte Larson, for your support and your belief in us, as always. And Angel, we end this podcast as we end every podcast. On behalf of Angel Santana, myself, the board of directors, we wish you, our cancer survivors, our sex warriors, our sex therapists out there, we're going to go out there and reproduce and repopulate the world with all the words that we gave you and all the advice we gave you. I feel like we're Dr. Ruth and the greatest sex therapist tonight, Angel. We wish you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God love you. God be with you. God bless you. Peace.